welcome to the Codec Moments podcast. Yes, you heard that right. It is the Codec Moments one. I am here with Ali Cornwall. We guarantee you it is not Just Send It. You've not accidentally downloaded the wrong episode. It's the Codec Moments podcast. I believe I needed to say that for a third time just to make you all realise that we are here. And we are here to talk about games. And it won't be the F1 game either, we promise. We're going to talk about the non-E3 stuff. Because E3 no longer exists. But Jeff's swooped in to save the day and brought in all his gaming friends. Or not.
Yeah.
We'll see. But hello, Ali. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. I watched a few of the conferences. I haven't watched all of them. But the ones that I haven't watched, because I forgot about Ubisoft, sorry. I have caught up with the videos of the games I did want to find out more about. So I've kept in touch this year with everything that's been shown. You?
Yeah, I've pretty much kept... I've watched the PlayStation 1 live. I watched the Summerfest 1 live, the Xbox 1, and the... Ubisoft one, although I had to watch some of that on catch up. I kind of watched half of it, yeah. And then caught up on it. And obviously the Starfield Direct after the Xbox. There's been another Xbox one which I wasn't aware of, like an extended one, which is just going into a bit more detail, which I didn't watch live. Yeah. And I don't know anything in between. Like, I know some of the smaller or independent ones have been doing their own little bits and bobs here.
There's been a lot of news announcements as these have gone on, and the PC gaming side of things as well has been quite good for new information coming through about things we didn't know about.
Maybe because we haven't got our finger on the pulse as much as we would do normally, I don't know. But I just find that there isn't a list anywhere. I feel like you need a TV guide for it so you can go, don't nod at doing something. Lovely, I'll go, oh, yeah, right, I'll make a note of that. And if I don't watch it live, I can go to their YouTube channel or whatever and catch up on it. So some stuff does misses by, and it'd be nice to have something to say, oh, I need to go and catch up on that. But at least on Xbox and PlayStation's YouTube channels, if you've got them subscribed, they do put the trailers up afterwards.
Yeah,
so at least you've
can
catch
got
up on
that.
Them that way, yeah.
Yeah. So we might as well start with the PlayStation one. And what we're going to do is there's hundreds of games have been covered. There's no way in the world that we're going to get through that in a podcast that would be editable within the next decade.
Yeah,
so
4 pages
we,
on a document.
yeah, we're not even going to attempt to go through all of them. But what we figured we would do is we'll talk extremely briefly for us about the various showcases that we did watch, really quickly what we thought, and we'll pluck out a couple of the games that were in there to talk a little bit more about the stuff that we're probably most excited for. And then I think we both have said there are two games in particular we do want to discuss in a little bit more detail, but we'll get to those later. So PlayStation was first up, and for me, I think they did what they said they were going to do. We're going to show you some stuff that's coming this year. We're going to show you some stuff that's coming next year. And they did. It was in no way, look at all this stuff we've got in development that you're not going to see for 5 years. And at the same time, it was a tad disappointingly. There's one first party game. Yeah, see that one? And it was a little bit of, if you were there to watch it, to look for the first party stuff, I don't think it delivered. If you were there just to look at what they're going to have on the platform in the next 18 months, it did what it said on the tin.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It was a really good showcase. I really enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, yeah, wicked. This is coming. That's coming. Not everything for us, because we were kind of having our own little text along as we were watching it.
Yeah, that's a key piece. I think they managed to cover quite a broad spectrum of game types. And
there's a lot of PvP, co-op, shoot everything.
Yeah, it's not appealing to me, but I understand there is an audience out there. So I think whilst there was a variety, there were maybe four or five I went, I'm playing those. And that's out of, what, 30 games?
Yeah.
That got discussed. And that's not to say I won't touch some of the others. It's just more of a, they're the ones I'm more excited about. So it wasn't, for me as a gamer, banger after banger after banger. But, and I think you'll probably agree with this as well, we're kind of at life stages now where we just do not have the time to play everything anyway. We never had the time to play everything as it was. We've got even less time to play the stuff we really want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that doesn't bother me anymore. I don't have to see 500 games that I need to play before 2025.
Yeah. And like you, I've got an Xbox One chat with some friends that I used to be on a forum with and stuff. And I put on there, oh, you know, PlayStation, I've knocked it out of the park. You know, this looks really good. And I knew some of them were third party. And then they went, yeah, do you realise like 80% of it was third party? And I was like, oh, it kind of burst my balloon a little bit. Because I was like, my point was, PlayStation have done really well. Xbox haven't really got to step up and everyone else. And then they're like, oh, yeah, most of those games are coming on other platforms. And I was like, oh.
I'm not disappointed.
I was just like, oh, okay. I don't know. When someone lifts that curtain up and you're like, oh. But what did you think about the PSVR stuff? Because I think since last time we recorded, you might have said either it's on its way or it might have just turned up. But what did you think about the...
Oh, yeah, it was back at the beginning of the year, wasn't it? So I've had my PSVR since launch day. It turned up on launch day. It has been genuinely the best VR headset I've used. I've not used a really high-end one. But it's doing what I expect. I've really enjoyed the games that are on there. Not going to lie, it's a bit of a gap in games, the really high quality stuff. And not to say that the games aren't high quality, but you do get some that are more than others. And I would have liked some more staggered, bigger releases. Yep. But there's been enough to keep me going with it. The key piece out of the PlayStation one was, because it wasn't there at launch, Beat Saber has had its PSVR 2 release, and they put that on the store after the show. I say after, because during the show they said, available now, and it was like an hour and 10 minutes afterwards it actually popped up on the store. But it was enough that I waited till it popped up on the store. I downloaded it because it was free if you already owned it, cracking, along with all the DLC packs, if you own those, and played it.
Yeah.
And I played an hour of it, and bearing in mind, it appeared on the store at 11 o'clock at night, and I was still at work the next day. I was well past midnight, smacking things in virtual reality in my living room.
Is that one of the games a staple of VR now? Like, if you've got VR, you've got to have it, kind of thing.
It's just a superb rhythm action game. Yeah. It is, yes, you're cutting squares apart with lightsabers, but it's just really well done. It's absolutely spot on, and it's a great game to play. So cool. I did that, and yeah, that's good to see. There's some nice stuff coming. There was some stuff that looked really good. The Resident Evil 4 remake VR mode, I'm really looking forward to, because what's not clear is the depth of that, how far does it go into the game, but fundamentally what we saw in that trailer seemed to be the first full section of the game in VR, which I do want to see how that works. And again, it's a free update, it's like, wow, yeah, perfect, that's good. So the VR stuff was nice. I would like a little bit more on the bigger ones, and that is some of the third party. And I say this because the MetaQuest stuff has been going on as well, the announcement of new hardware from them, but every VR bit of news I see is coming to MetaQuest, and not a lot of it is actually saying PSVR 2 as well, which I don't know if it's tied in exclusives or they're just not saying that yet.
Yeah,
and I'd like to see some of these, like I'm going to use I Expect You to Die 3, which is due out fairly soon. I think it's the summer that's coming out. It's a fantastic escape room game. The first two are brilliant. Third one, MetaQuest 2. And it's like, what? I want it on the PSVR 2. I want to play it on there, because these are phenomenal games. They are so well put together. So I would have liked a little bit more, but I'm not disappointed by any means.
Good.
The bit for me, and the game I'll pluck out to talk about, even though we've already managed to probably do longer than we expected to do on this, but it's the one I have to talk about. We are the Codec Moments podcast, so I can't talk about anything else. My favourite game of all time finally got the confirmation of the remake that is coming, Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater. Yep. And it's what, Metal Gear Solid Delta, they've called it, or Snake Eater? It's Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, they've called it, haven't they? So we know that's a ground-up remake, but they are using the original voice cast, voice recordings. They're not asking them to re-record anything. So they are mirroring and doing exactly the same game, just with a modern engine. I don't know if it's in the Fox engine or not.
Yeah.
It looks like it could have been. And so that was a nice confirmation of a reveal. Brilliant. but it was a CG 2-minute clip. Yeah. That tells me that we are 2025, I think, before that comes.
Yeah, unless they're saving it for something else. But yeah, it's going to be a while off. And they also mentioned that we're getting...
Good point. It could be the Tokyo Game Show where they reveal more on that one.
But they also mentioned that we're getting Metal Gear Solid 1, if you like, and 2. But I guess, are they not remakes? Are they just releasing them with the HD ones or something?
It's in August. They are releasing the... They're not remasters. I think they're ports.
Yep.
Because they might have some, I don't know, some AI upscaling or something done to them, but they're not remade. And it's nice. Metal Gear, Metal Gear 2, Metal Gear Solid, Metal Gear Solid 2, and Metal Gear Solid 3, isn't it?
Yeah, Snake Eater, yeah.
They haven't put Peace Walker on there. So it's those, and there was lots of, oh, this is just the HD collection coming out again. But it's not, because the HD collection that came out on PS3 was it only 1 and 2?
I don't think, Metal Gear Solid wasn't in it. I thought it was 2.
It was 2 and 3.
And something
Peace Walker, but yeah. Peace Walker, was that only on the US version? I can't remember.
I think so. It also came out on Xbox, didn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, because my copy is the US version. That's right. The one I ended up buying, and I know it was subtly different. And I ended up buying it because my local game shop had a copy, and it was about 2 or 3 months before it came out here. So it was, it's like a port. But because I've never, since the original, I have never bought a copy of Metal Gear Solid again. Uh-huh. And it's the VR mission one as well that's coming with everything. So I think I could be tempted in that. So if it's slightly taking the jagged edges off and stuff like that, we could. Because I say I've never bought it. I've played it on one of the services again. And I would like to give it a go. But actually, it's one of those I'd probably prefer to see an overall remake of that rather than...
Yeah, and we're talking before we hit record that potentially they could be re-releasing them all in chronological order, because Snake Eater's actually the first one, isn't it, in terms of timeline?
It is. You could end up doing Snake Eater, Peace Walker. If you went down the route, I think the Portable Ops ones sit in there. Acid, I think he's later. I don't think that's at that stage. Then you could get into Ground Zeroes and Phantom Pain before you even get anywhere near the original Metal Gear Solid. But they're not doing... Oh, well, they might do. They could potentially do Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2, which would also come after Phantom Pain, but before Metal Gear Solid. So there's scope to do it, but we don't know what the plan is. We'll have to see how Delta comes out first. But that was my one I wanted to talk about from there, because obviously it is easily the one I was most excited about.
We'd be stupid not to, wouldn't we?
Yeah, it would be a bit daft.
The one for me, because what we've done is we picked a couple of games each through the list, so we won't do these extended talks for all of them, but the one for me was Spider-Man 2. Not an awful lot to say about it, because we already knew it was coming out. It wasn't a surprise, but the gameplay looks amazing, and I'm looking forward to it, and the fact that you're seamlessly swapping between Spider-Man, who's also Venom at the time, and Miles Morales, and all the different things that are going on, and the fact that the map is it 3 times bigger than New York before? I think I heard him say.
He said something like that, didn't he? It's a lot bigger.
They showed us the extended gameplay at the end of the PlayStation 1, and then the guy came out at the Games Fest and spoke to us about it. And I swear he said, I think it was about 3 times bigger, and there's a lot more going on. And I mean, we've both platinumed and played the first, you know, 2 games, if you like. Several times, because we did it on PS4 as well. Just looking forward to that. Such a good game.
I'm with you. I thought it looked great. Yep. And I mean, we're not skipping ahead, but we are. We also got a release date at the Summer Games Fest, didn't we?
Yes.
It's October.
October, 13th, something like that.
Yeah, we knew it would be around that period. It wasn't a massive surprise, but it was good that it was confirmed.
There's been a few tweets and a few people saying, my wallet's going to be crying in October, because there's a lot of games being released in October.
But it usually is. That October's a bad month for your wallet. It always has been. It's that pre-Christmas where everybody's going, oh, people are buying new consoles, so quick, get the games out.
Yep.
Yep. I'm not going to go into any detail, but I did like the look of Sword of the Sea. So it's from the people who made Journey. Is it that game company?
Yep.
Yeah, I do like the look of that one.
The only other one quickly to mention is Final Fantasy 16. We know it's coming out. Looks amazing. There's a demo out. We sent a tweet out about it. Found out today after I completed the demo. So if you've not done the demo, give it a go. It's very Games of Thrones-y in terms of family turmoil, but in a Final Fantasy setting. But also you get to take your save game into the main game when it releases.
Oh, that's quite good.
Which is good, but it doesn't tell you that until afterwards. So like me, if I play a beta of anything or a demo, I skip any cutscenes because I'll save that for when I buy the game. And then it's like, oh, you can take your save. And I'm like, oh, for goodness sake, I've just skipped everything. I just want to see what you played like and stuff. So, but yeah, really good. Really, really looking forward to that. That's out like a week or two after we're recording this. So it's not far away at all.
Summer Games Fest then. That was the next one up that we watched a lot of. There may have been announcements between. If there were, we're not skipping anything. We're not meaning to diss anything. It's just Summer Games Fest, the next one we really took a lot of attention to.
Yep.
And Jeff was back to bring all his mates onto the stage and showcase games. And there is no doubting he showcased games. There was a lot of content over that. Was it an hour and a half?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
And it was decent length, and it kicked off with the Mortal Kombat 1 stuff, which we got more in-depth, bloody gameplay on that one, I do think it looks good.
Yeah, and more details about, because I didn't finish the storyline on 11, but something to do with the dimension changed or something, which now means that Scorpio and Sub-Zero are actually brothers and they're working together and they're actually friends. And so some people are good, some people are bad, things like that, which is pretty cool. And Jean-Claude Van Damme is Johnny Cage?
Yeah, he's doing Johnny Cage, isn't he? Yeah. So it was interesting. There was, like I say, there were tons that it went through. There were, again, stuff that you're thinking, yeah, I like that. I want to say, was it Under the Waves? Yeah, that's I really like the look of that one. Like a submarine. It is not in a submarine, but it's a sub-nautical kind of adventure, story-driven tale, but not like it didn't look like a survival adventure. It looked like a kind of narrative that could really work. But the first, first big thing for me, which made me stop what I was doing whilst I was watching it, and I went, Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Nick Cage turned up.
Yeah.
He's in Dead by Daylight. I don't play Dead by Daylight. I've never touched it. I know they have loads of different characters. I know his character's coming to it. But for him to rock up and promote was really pretty good. And he's Nicolas Cage, isn't he? He can work a room. And he did a really good job.
Yeah.
Genuinely thought he did a really good job.
Absolutely. I mean, while you're on that, is in terms of working a room, the one thing I did think of Games Fest and going forward to the other ones, I don't know whether it's because there wasn't a lot of people there, it was mainly press, not as many fans. I just felt it was very flat. Like, people were coming out as if it was E3 where they're trying to hype up a crowd, but either there wasn't much of a crowd or people just were like, I can't be arsed with you. And it just, some of it felt a bit flat, as if they were like, Yeah. How's everyone doing? Yeah, we've got free stuff.
I did hear some of the European journalists sort of commenting. Yeah, we were all jet lagged.
Yeah,
and tired, and hot, but I think that's the problem of doing something like that where your room is full of journalists.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not a journalist event, really. The way it's broadcast on YouTube, it's about getting it out in the front of the public, and I think it's harder to build that atmosphere with people who are there for a job. Yes, they love the games. A lot of them love what they're doing, but it's a slightly different take because you might be making notes and having to pay attention to other things and not really just focused on screaming your head off because Nick Cage walks out.
Yeah, yeah. Prince of Persia was announced here, but then also in the Ubisoft one.
Yeah.
And very quickly, it looks great and it's gone back to its roots. I'm all up for that. I thought they were redoing the first one, or is this what this is? Because this seems like a new game, not a redo.
No, I think you said it was not the Prince, was it? It's in the style of the very first game. It's a 2D platformer.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a remake.
Because I swear last year Ubisoft said they were remaking Prince of Persia and they were doing something new. But the remakes, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's gone quiet in the last few years, let's be honest.
Yeah, Beyond it could Good be, Evil, could be the, one of the ones they've ditched, for all we know.
Maybe, yeah.
In terms of Summer Games Fest overall, I actually think it did a decent job. I think it showed a nice variety of stuff. It showed some in-depth gameplay for some games. It showed a couple of ones that you sort of thought, oh, you know, that could be intriguing, but it's, you know, it's only a little bit of FMV and a touch of gameplay right now.
What, like John Carpenter's Toxic Command, though?
Oh, I'm all over that. That looks ace.
Where did that come from?
I mean, it's Saber Interactive. So it's the guys who've done World War Z. That we've enjoyed playing in co-op,
and
it's
intense.
It's a first person open world looking zombie slaughterer. It's like, yeah, I'm there, absolutely.
Yeah,
that we know they can pull that off, especially with, like, you know, the swarm mechanic that they used in World War Z. If they started using that could be a hell of a game.
Nightmare
so,
fuel.
Yeah, I enjoyed the entire showcase start to finish. There was plenty of stuff that I thought, yep, I'd like to forget that. There were a few things I thought, you know, absolutely, I'm never going to touch that. COD, for a start.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't appeal, but it's got the marketplace. He's got he had the studios. He had the buy-in from the console manufacturers as well as everything else. And it feels like a centralized place. But it's an interesting, we were having a conversation last night with our friend Stuart Cullen. And Stuart had a theory, which I'm sure he'd love to be on here telling you himself. Jeff is setting up all these events now. He's got Summer Games Fest, which he's done. He's got Gamescom next. He's got the Game Awards. But it's the same games every single one. So basically, he's not blowing his load up front. He's going, right, we're going to do this. And this the next one, we might have announced a couple of new things, but we'll show you more in-depth stuff of the stuff that hasn't released. And I think it's very cleverly meted out for the year. And I agree with Stuart when he was saying his view that that is probably what's happening, so that you get a year's worth of streaming updates from a compact number of titles.
Yeah.
It might be true, it might not. We might get to Gamescom and he does 2 hours and it's all totally different games. As long as he doesn't bring back that from the Immortals of Avium.
I know we're only talking about a few games, but they announced Star Trek Infinite. We've also had the Star Trek Telltale-y kind of game. I can't remember who's done it. I've not picked it up yet. But has something changed with the licensing for Star Trek? So we seem to be getting quite a few games now. Because this is like two that's been announced or coming out.
There always have been quite a lot of games, but they tended to be like mobile games that they've been
doing. And I know that there's the online one, but then suddenly we've got that Telltale one, which I've not picked up yet, but I've heard good things about.
Yeah.
And then this Infinite one, which I think is a bit like Stellaris or whatever it's called. But Star Trek.
It looked more like an RTS, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I'm up for it. But yeah. Just more Star Trek.
Oh, cool. Could be. Again, another license, another big publishing house, admittedly, TV and film, but, you know, still there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jeff did his job. It finished. It closed down. It went to an indie developer showcase straight afterwards, so they did some more bits and pieces on that. I didn't watch that. I moved on to, actually going and playing. I was deep in Jedi Survivor at that point, so I think I went to that. And then we had, which I missed the showcase and tuned into the thing afterwards because I was out for the day. But then we had the Xbox one.
Yeah.
Which you've already said you were expecting quite big things from. So how was it?
It was better than I thought. There wasn't a lot of waffle, which is good. And that goes for all of the showcases. There wasn't a lot of people like doing fake game stuff and just talking. It was just like game, a little bit of talking, game.
Yeah, that's it was, wasn't
it? Keanu Reeves coming out, you know, that kind of thing. But it was good. There's quite a few games coming out. At least they've got a couple of games first-party-wise that are coming out this year. One is Massive that we know about. The other one potentially is going to be, basically Starfield and Forza Motorsport, well, 8, but it's gone back to the start. Yeah, we'll talk about Starfield later when we get to that. And I think they've, at least for this year, they've put a lot of chips or pretty much hedged most of their bets on that game doing really well and bringing people to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a really good showing from them. We got a video or an FMV about Fable with Richard, I can never remember his surname.
Ayoade.
That's one, which was really good. But again, this is the second FMV trailery type of thing for Fable. We've still not got any gameplay. We still don't know what it's about other than it's in the Fable reboot world.
Yeah.
Just show us something. You've been working on this for like, it's going to be close to 10 years. I appreciate it's going to be a big game, but I think they need to start showing people something. But, you know, it's good that it's still there. There's a lot of Persona in this showcase, which I can't get into. I'm not a Persona fan. I think Andy is. Got a few mates that are. I think it's one of those things that once you click with it, you love it.
Yeah.
I know quite a few people are interested in the Reborn one, and there's the, not turn-based shooter, like XCOM type of game that's coming out for it.
Like a tactical one.
Yeah. I guess the big one that we just blew us all away, and then we got more about it in the Ubisoft one. Again, we'll cover that. This is the game that we're going to cover at the end. But Star Wars Outlaw just kind of came out of nowhere, and we're like,
I think we knew there was going to be a Star Wars Ubisoft game, and there were rumors that it was going to be 2024. We just didn't know anything about it, and that's what we got.
And then other than that, more Fallout 76, don't care personally. The bit of stuff about Cyberpunk, City Skylines 2, I'm actually quite excited for that. I quite like those type of games. That's coming out in September, which is pretty cool. Going to be on Game Pass. We got more gameplay footage of Forza, looking good. We'll see what happens with that. About time. It's been a long time, but they have rebuilt that and they've done a lot of good things with it. Payday 3. I'm liking the look of that. I don't know if you've played the other ones, but they're a lot of fun.
I think I played the original. I played Payday. I don't remember playing Payday 2. I could have done.
But yeah,
but I think I'm pretty sure it was the first one.
Yeah. And they've also announced that they're doing a Series X, a new Series S with a 1 terabyte drive, and it's black.
Yeah.
I haven't got one, so I don't know, but I don't think you can expand the storage, at least the internal SSD storage, with an S. So a lot of people are like, we're loving the S, but it's only 500 gig or whatever.
You can buy the external storage, can't you? You can buy the additional expansion.
Maybe. I don't know. Because anyway, they've released one that's now got a terabyte built in. They wanted more internal storage.
Yes.
So that's out 1st September. And then the one to pick from it, which knocked the community sideways, almost knocked them out, was Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. They had to quickly release an FAQ because the other one was announced 2019 or came out in 2019, well, it was Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020.
You don't realize how long it's actually been out.
Yeah, so it's been out a while. And once the community calmed down a bit, they're like, yeah, okay, it's probably due it. But they did say they were going to support it for 10 years.
Because
of those type of things that can be supported for quite a while.
Yes.
And they're still doing things with it. But the updates have slowed down recently. And I've, in the last 6 months, I really got into it. Doing my flights, doing my ops, buying some of the sceneries and the aircraft and whatnot. And then they're like, oh, by the way, we're doing a new game next year, which I presume would be like September, October time next year. And it knocked the community sideways, but when you look behind it and see what they're doing, you're like, wow, okay, this is going to be pretty big. So they've added more of a career, or ops, as it's called in the flight sim world, where you can go and do cargo ops, so you can transport stuff in a big beluga, which is an Airbus container, which looks like a beluga whale, opens up and it can, you know, house another aircraft inside it almost without the wings on. Then you can do cargo ops in military aircraft. There's bits where you can go and deploy water on fire, but they've also got natural weather on there as well. So there is rain and things now, but there's tornadoes, and you can go and be a, you know, these scientists that fly around and scan them and things like that. So they're adding a lot of content. And plus this FAQ came out shortly afterwards and said, by the way, we're supporting third parties to bring everything across as well and trying to make it as painless as possible.
Oh, okay.
And bought a few very rare exceptions. Anything you've bought via Microsoft Flight Simulator already will come across. So that calmed them down quite a bit. And it's on Game Pass as well. So, you know, a lot of people were happy about that. So really looking forward to that. And it looks incredible. And there's seasons in it and stuff. And then also the Dune expansion, which is coming out for the current Microsoft Flight Simulator, where you can fly the Octopter or whatever it's called.
Thopter.
Thank you.
The Thopter.
And it's also got its own little containerized area in it. So there's a mission in it. And we think it might be something to do with sandworms, or you've got to fly around and whatnot. But yeah, that looks really good, because there's a little video that came out on the extended version where they're telling you about everything because of Dune, and they don't want anything to do with computers. It's all analog, and you can flick all the switches, turn it on, and yeah, that looks really good. Yeah. So excited for that.
That must be coincide with the release of the second part.
Yes.
I want to say November, I think that's coming out,
isn't
it?
Something like that, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, really looking forward to that. And that was something that I wasn't expecting at all, especially with how much content's still coming out for Flight Sim, and nobody was expecting it. There wasn't even any rumours about it.
That's good. That's good. I mean, going through the list, it's a little bit, content's different, but it's a little bit like the other shows. There's a variety. It isn't one game type. It isn't one style. It is a big blend and a big mix. And I think that's a plus point for Xbox versus some of its showcases in the past, where it's tended to maybe focus more on a smaller number of games, but unfortunately they've been all very samey or all very sequel-y. And it does genuinely look a bit different this time around. And yes, half of it's third party, but what do you expect? We're always going to be in third party. You don't really genuinely, unless there's something wrong with you, you probably don't buy a console for first party content. You want it. You might gravitate towards the one that gives the one that align with what you like to play. But actually, you're not just playing that stuff. You're playing third party. So, of course, they're all going to advertise what's on there. And it's nice. Yeah, it's a nice big mix.
And I think what they've been guilty of in the past is, we've brought this studio, and then they're working on this, but when? Because we know that's, you know, some of those games that they mentioned a couple of years ago are still in the works. But yeah, at least it's things that are coming out within the next 12 months ish.
So I think that leads us on nicely to talk about Starfield, because it's the elephant in the room for Microsoft. I don't think it's even an elephant in the room, everybody's talking about it. They've absolutely, without a doubt, and I don't think there's any argument in this, completely f***ed their first party releases for the last 2 years. They have not done a good job.
No.
I don't, what was the last one that actually landed right was Horizon, or Forza Horizon, wasn't it? That did what it was expected to do, but I don't think it's quite had the longevity that they really thought it would have. It seems to be everywhere for like 3 days, and then nobody talks about it again. It's quite an odd one, although obviously a very good game. But then everything from that, Halo bombed. I don't care what anybody says, it absolutely bombed because of that multiplayer. And they've fought to pull it round, but I just don't think they've got the play base, have they? They've not the size that they wanted.
Yeah.
And then you get the little bits and pieces which do Hi-Fi Rush kind of went out of nowhere. Yeah, that's really cool. We really like that. But again, it's short, it's sweet, it's just done. It's not enough to satiate everybody's where's my game mentality. And Redfall releases. Microsoft wishes it didn't exist.
Yep.
And then your next one is Starfield. So it absolutely has to deliver for them, for the fans to remain engaged. I think for them to hinge their entire future on Game Pass, it has to work because it needs to draw people in. There's only so long you can keep it static. They started losing subscribers, didn't they? I think earlier this year as well. They weren't attaching at the same rate. So they need this. They dedicated a whole, how long was it? Half an hour? An hour?
God, no, it's like an hour and 20 or something like that.
Yeah, a big showcase. And I caught this, where I came in, I caught the second half of it. Assuming that studio is not lying, it looks like a really good game. It does. It looks really good.
You know, when it was first announced, it's pretty much what we said, which is, so it's pretty much No Man's Sky on steroids. And you know, it's kind of delivered on that at the minute.
It's not got 15 quintillion planets.
No.
But every planet it does have is curated for missions and exploration and something there, whereas No Man's Sky is procedurally generated and you can land on things and there's bugger all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's that kind of thing if you want a comparison. But it does look really good, and the amount of different things you can do, the space combat, going on a different planet, you can just go around and scan stuff, mine and build. And even I thought there would be some, and I'm sure there is somewhere, but some restrictions on the craft you can build. But there isn't, because they showed where someone, and I don't think it's multiplayer, thank God, do my head in, but where someone had built like a robot spaceship and you could fly like almost like the Megazord around.
Right.
And I was like, that's a bit meh, but I like what they're trying to show you, because I'm going to build Red Dwarf Starbug.
Is it the full 3 mile long Red Dwarf?
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe a mini one. But yeah. But I like the creativity that you can have with your ship. Looks good.
Yeah. It had everything you want to do, everything you want to have to live out your smuggler, trader, space pirate. There seems to be a lot of references back to being a space pirate. It does make you wonder, is that kind of default? Probably not. They'll let people choose how they want to play. And yeah, I mean, it looked like Skyrim in space.
Enough for you to buy an Xbox, Matt.
No. We've had this discussion. I can't remember if we had it on a podcast, because we obviously haven't recorded many podcasts over the last couple of years. But we have talked about this on and off in our chat and various times. And that would be £600 for a single game. Yeah. It's not enough for me to do that. No console is. I came close to buying a Switch for Breath of the Wild 2. But I looked at the price and I went, don't be an idiot. That's 350 quid plus the game. It's over £400 for one game. No, it's not. We've alluded to it already. I don't have the time. I don't have the unlimited funds. Anybody who follows on Twitter also knows that one of the other things we do, me and Andy do, is DJing for Hive Radio UK. And if I had £600 to spare, I would be buying a new MP3 deck. Not another games console that I would sit and gather dust apart from one game.
Yeah.
So it's other priorities. If somebody said, here, have my Xbox for 6 months and you can play Starfield, of course I'd give it a go. Absolutely. It looks good. The me not buying a console for it is down to my time and cash, not anything to do with the game at all.
No.
So I do think it looks like a great game. Am I going to sit there when it releases and go, oh, I wish I was playing it? I might do at some point. I did with Forza Horizon 3, I think it was. I was thinking, that looks really good. I'd like to play that. But it's not enough for me to spend that amount of money for one game.
A month later, you've got Spider-Man coming out and goodness knows what else in October. And this
For the stuff that I mean, and... Yeah. It will come to one of the games that I will be picking up in October, or more than likely. But yeah, it is. It does look good, and it's why I think I caveat it with, as everybody is, that has to have been a genuine showcase from the developers, and I think it is. I don't think they're lying on this. I don't think they're pulling anybody the wool over anybody's eyes. This is what they have and what they've been working on, and it will be janky because. That's the nature of it, but they are saying yes, but it will have less bugs than Skyrim. Admittedly, Skyrim had a bug which stopped it from working on the PS3 until they patched it God knows how many months after release, because I had to stop playing because I couldn't, because it hit that memory limit. Anyway, as long as it doesn't have anything game-breaking, it's a success.
I'm hoping it's going to hit the ground running. I mean, I was in the market for a new controller anyway, but I picked up the Starfield controller. Granted, I thought it was a pre-order and it turned up yesterday, but there we go. But yeah, I was in the market for one. I thought, do you know what? That actually looks really nice. So I picked that up. They're doing a console, doing a headset, and there's also a premium Constellation Edition, which comes with a watch. I don't know if it links into the game or not, but there's the watch as well.
Well, like a smartwatch, wasn't it?
And what is quite nice, if you've got Game Pass, which most people with an Xbox have, and this is for Forza as well. I think the Forza one's a little bit cheaper, but you can spend £30 and upgrade it to the
Yeah, it's like a premium edition. Deluxe edition upgrade kind of thing.
And you get the early access as well.
Yeah.
And so you kind of just pay £30 for the game, which I think, you know, isn't bad value for money. I think the Forza one's £28.
I'd be interested to see, and I doubt the figures will ever come, will they? But I'd love to know how many people with Game Pass decide, oh, I'm going to pay that £30 for the early access.
I am 100% because it comes out on the 4th, I think, or 5th, or something like that of September, which is literally as I go to Italy and then jump on a cruise ship. And I'm like, so, I'm not waiting till the 15th.
You're going to pay £30 to upgrade and play early for something that you're then not going to play for a fortnight.
Yeah.
You could just wait until you get back and save you £30 and have more money to spend.
Well, no, because you get some like shiny bits as well.
This is every platform, every publisher that does an early access, all of it. It costs them all.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is money for nothing for them.
Yeah. I don't...
And it is amazing that and I feel it too. I felt it with a release from this week as well that has an early access where you're like, I want to play that. You have to be fully bought into it and appreciate what you're getting. It's a digital item that you're never going to own.
Yeah, and I don't do it often.
No.
And especially, I'm not paying £80-90 for it. I'm paying £30 for a £60-70 game. So it's not bad value for money. Okay, you've got my subscription on top of that, but I've paid that anyway for other bits.
Yeah, you've got that regardless.
Yeah, so it's not bad value for money. But I see what you're saying, like the fact that it's something for nothing, but... Hey-ho. It's the way the world is at the minute.
Yeah. It's one of those, isn't it? Most of the digital deluxe editions, it's a £20 difference a lot of the time. And the early access one, I said we aren't going to mention it, so I'm not going to refer to it by name, but it's £70 if you get the standard version, but it's £90 if you get the early access versions. There's usually a £20 difference. Deluxe editions, it's usually a tenner upgrade, isn't it?
Yep.
For a lot of these things. I'll go back to Jedi Survivor. I think, you know, it's £70 for the standard game or £80 for the upgrade, and you could buy the upgrade for a tenner if you didn't go for it. So there's a lot to do it. The £30, I think, is pushing it, and that's why I'm interested to see how many people will attach. And I think maybe that's why they pushed the price, because they absolutely know they have to monetize this in some way. Because you're not making any development cost back on any of it when it's on Game Pass. That is the argument. There is no masking that when you effectively give it away, because Game Pass does not cover, the revenue does not cover the amount of games that go on there. You've got to have a way of recouping that, especially the amount of time that's gone into this game. It's over a decade. It's got to make some money somewhere. And I know, you know, Microsoft have got deep pockets, but it's just not good business sense. The shareholders won't like it if they don't have a way of doing it. And this obviously feels like one of the ways. I hope for everybody's sake, there's not a ridiculous amount of microtransactions in it.
Mm, yeah.
But we won't know until it comes out, because I don't think they'll talk about that. Unless they explicitly said there are no microtransactions.
They've not said there is, but to
have
be
they said
fair,
there isn't. Because no. Quite a few game developers have come out recently when they've been talking about the games, they've got, and there are no microtransactions. They're really clear on it.
To be fair, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, there's not many Bethesda games that do.
They've tended to have DLC, and obviously, prime example, horse armor in Skyrim. But that, again, it's optional, and it wasn't like you couldn't get it. You couldn't get it early if you bought it. It was the only way to get it. It wasn't like you were grinding to get it in game, or you could have had a kind of like that forced down to pick.
Yeah.
Don't grind it, pay for it. They didn't have anything like that. So we'll just have to see. If it's crammed full of loot crates and microtransactions, people might sour slightly.
They've lost their audience because...
Yeah. I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I don't think that doesn't feel like what they would do. I think they would be more likely to support with DLC. A big DLCs that, and maybe more and a longer time frame for the games. It's not like not like four DLCs in a year. It might be 20 DLCs over 5 years. It might be something on that kind of scale, and use that to recoup all the development costs coming back in. It looked good. I think that sums it up. It looked good.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to see gameplay.
Yes, well, they needed to, didn't they? So, Ubisoft Forward, which probably, in fairness, looking at the time we've been recording now, is going to be the last bit we talk about. And I think there's two in this. There was some nice things to see. We finally saw Avatar Frontiers of Pandora. Looked okay, looked quite pretty. Did look genuinely next-gen as well. The Prince of Persia Abyss we've already talked about. Division we know is coming. Skull and Bones, that's never arriving. I don't know why they keep showing that.
I know, right? I'm sick of playing the open betas or closed beta test, and we had
a new Crew Motorfest. That's on its way. The Crew 2 was so bland. I don't know if that's going to work. But all sorts of Assassin's Creed stuff. But the two we obviously want to talk about. I will talk briefly on Assassin's Creed Mirage, because I watched the first 30 seconds of that footage and I went, I'm in on this. I really enjoyed the original Assassin's Creed, despite its flaws. I thought it was a really good game and it was a really good principle. And what Mirage looks like, it isn't, but it looks like somebody at Ubisoft went, we need to remake the first game with the modern mechanics.
Yeah.
It's not, I know it's a different story, but I thought, that'd be really good. But then when they said, we've gone away from the massive open world, I thought, thank God, some focused Assassin's Creed gameplay. Because when this was first started to be revealed a bit earlier this year, I had my usual Assassin's Creed head on, which was, I'll buy it when I've finished the other ones. And bear in mind, I'm a third of the way through Odyssey. It's going to be a long time before I get to it. But then they've given me, they're tempting me with something that's not 150 hours. It might be a 20-hour story. I'm like, I could go for that. I love the look of it. It's back to that original, that Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood style, which I really loved. I could be really, really tempted by that. And it looks so pretty as well.
I'm with you on that. As much as I love an open world game, I do find sometimes you need to just containerize it enough, because it's just overwhelming. And I sometimes, especially with Valhalla, I just feel like I'm not getting anywhere sometimes.
Yeah, I dread to think how many hours I put into it. I mean, we reviewed it. We got early access. In effect, we got review copy. We had it for about a week or so in advance. And after doing that and plowing time into it, I feel like I've gone nowhere.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And yes, they're great. They look great. The gameplay's there. And especially with Valhalla and stuff, they've kind of veered away from the roots. And it's nice to go back there and have it in a dense town. I'm sure there are little villages and things you can go to nearby and stuff. But
yeah.
I'm with you. Going back to its roots, win for me. I mean, it needed to be done. But it's nice that they've kind of done it, not in a rework, but kind of, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a reboot, but we're going back to our roots to bring it back to how it was, because those first couple of games were gameplay now wasn't great, but it was still an amazing game for its time.
Absolutely. I mean, 2, 3, and 4 are superb. Absolutely excellent. One was good but was very, very flawed. 2, 3, and 4 was superb. I know what they weren't called, 2, 3, and 4, but that's the one I'm thinking of. 3, which was 5, was just dog story-wise. I mean, not the mechanics, not the settings, story, and I hated the main character. It just went nowhere for me. And he's, they're acting like he's like the best one ever. No, Connor was a terrible character. He just was not relatable or likable. Anyway, gone. Black Flag was great, but it was the start of big. And that sea, that map was huge. And that's where it went and just scaled up and up and up. And they produced some great games. They are really good. Origins is fantastic. That took me 2 years to get through. I've missed Syndicate, because Syndicate was quite big as well. So I'm really looking forward to pulling that back. But also because it's a smaller map space, which counteracts my thoughts on Star Wars Outlaws, because that looks freaking huge and I want it now.
So they obviously Xbox kind of revealed it at their showcase quite early on, and then they said afterwards you'll see more, And I think there's a gameplay.
Well, yeah, because we got a CG trailer, didn't we, at the Xbox show? And then they went into a full gameplay.
And yeah, I need that game. And when they were playing it and they were shooting stuff, and I'm like, shoot the barrel. And then they did. And I was like, sweet. There's a red barrel there. Why did you not shoot that first? But it, yeah, looks immense. Jumping on a speeder bike. Looks like you have a speeder bike to go around on. Obviously, you've got your ship. And I just need to know more about it.
I think everybody was quite surprised at how big it looked, how epic it looked, how well-rounded the characters were. She looks like a good starting character. You've got this great support character with the droid, with attitude, which, you know, always goes down well. You've got a little creature who's a tool as much as a companion.
Yeah.
It feels Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I've seen a few comments which have gone, oh, it's just a Far Cry skin. Well, you know what? I don't care if it is, if it looks that good and it plays and it's got a star, the key will be, has it got a Star Wars story? And it's a heist. It feels outlaws and smugglery rather than Jedi's, which, leave that to Respawn. They've kind of got the Jedi pat down. That's another podcast that we will come to in 5 years when we record the next one. But it does look... I spent the first few minutes of that footage from the showcase thinking they've just nicked that ragtag idea from EA that got canned.
Yeah.
But hell, it looks good.
On paper, and I know some people aren't massive fans of Ubisoft, but when you've got the skills that Ubisoft have got for the open world games that they can do, and we've seen it with like Valhalla, Origins, you know, they can make good looking games with good gameplay. Sometimes it can be a bit janky and stuff, but when you've got Disney behind you saying this is the story we want you to tell and everything has to go through them, and I found this out even from board games and stuff, even certain people that are affiliated, when they want to paint a model, have to get them to approve it first, and if you want some of these people that create these games to come on your podcast, you have to be vetted. When you've got that behind you, whether you like it or not, it means that the story should be good because they've had to vet it. They have to approve it all. And add the two together, you should have a match made in heaven.
In my job, we deal with Disney all the time. It's part and parcel of some of the licensing we do, along with the likes of Warner Brothers and DC and every, you know, your parent companies, as well as all the individual affiliates. And you're absolutely right. They are genuinely really good to work with, but everything is checked. And checked and checked, and if you draw one character and submit it and get it approved, and then decide to change thickness on lines, it's got to go back for reapproval. Yeah. Alter the color on a piece of clothing, it's got to go back for reapproval. You cannot do what you want with it; you have to abide by their guidelines.
Even the tabletop games that I play, so Star Wars Legion and Shatterpoint, that's just come out. Any rule changes, and this is to the detail that they go to, any rule changes they have to approve.
Yeah.
Because it might be changing something about a character that they don't like or the way they do something, and it's no, we need to have that because, you know, suddenly Darth Vader's got a gun.
Oh, well, that's not going to go down
very
well anyway.
Very, very rarely, if ever, we've seen him shoot a gun. So no, he can't have a gun. Yeah. You know, it's stuff like that, that they'll go, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Which is good because it's protecting their IP. But like you say, this looks...
It looks a Star Wars fan's dream game, doesn't it? And it's next gen, and it does look like Ubisoft of everywhere brought the most big guns to it. And maybe that's a decent thing because they've kind of disappeared off the table. And since Far Cry 6, I can't think of a huge, other than Division expansions or... I can't really think of a huge amount they've done since Far Cry 6.
The last game that I'm aware of they released was Mario Rabbids Spark 2 or whatever it's called on the Switch.
Yeah.
But they've not really done a lot. And there's a lot of things kind of coming out and then they've ditched, like Beyond Good and Evil. Don't know what's happening with that. Yeah.
It feels like all this stuff going on in the background that kept behind closed doors, they were waiting until they were nearly ready and it's nearly time for it to come.
I think we might be surprised when we get a release date for that. We haven't got a release date, have we?
No, they said 2024. The rumors prior to the event, because there are rumors of this game for quite a while, the rumors were it's January. But because they were, it was discussed in a something linking to it, whether they said Star Wars game or not, was discussed in an earnings call.
Right.
But it doesn't mean it's January because we haven't got a date. And maybe it'd be Q1 next year. That'd be really good if we got something first part of the year. But
sounds good to me.
We'll see. Yeah.
Before we wrap up, Matt, I know we've got not much time left. Is there anything missing or anything you're disappointed with?
No. I would have liked to have got a total out of the blue AAA game that attempts to do something different that I had no idea was in development. But that's just the one all the time.
Yeah,
I don't think there was. I do think there's a lovely blend of styles. Never is anything like this you can have 100% for one person. It doesn't work like that, but there were a lot I saw. And the nice pieces, they're all 2023 or 2024, barring just something like Metal Gear Solid. They all do, were saying, and that was genuinely the nice piece of, about the PlayStation and the Xbox showcases. They were all saying 2023, 2024. They told you when they were coming. They weren't just pie in the sky. Yeah, this is what we're working on. The vast majority, I think there were one or two which didn't have the dates, but the vast majority did say you can be playing it in the next 18 months. And that's, I think that's what we needed. Just need to know the stuff in the pipeline.
Yeah. I think the only thing for me that I was kind of expecting, I'm not disappointed it wasn't shown, but it's been rumoured for a long time, is the next Grand Theft Auto. Thought we might have seen that. Whether they're saving it for end of the year at the Game Awards if they've got a trailer, but we know how long it takes them to develop them.
The rumours on that one is it's 2025.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Still. Which would put it... Oh, what is it, like 16 or 17 years since Grand Theft Auto 5?
Really?
When did Grand Theft Auto, if it was 2025? Grand Theft Auto 5, was it 2012?
2013.
2013 for Grand Theft Auto 5. So we are already 10 years on from that, and it has been on it's been on three generations, hasn't it? It came out on...
And I've brought it on all three.
Yeah, so have I. Well... Review code and all three.
Yeah.
But it is. I've played it on every one, and I've finished it on every generation it's come out on as well. It is a phenomenal game, and the online just keeps going from strength to strength. It never stops. But it's going to be, I reckon, about 11, 12 years. Maybe we will get a trailer this year, but I think the rumors were it'd be 2025 before we saw that.
Yeah, I think it's because there was a short time between 4 and 5, because there's only 5 years between two games.
Still 5 years. But then you think about the size and the detail and what those guys do and what they aim for. And you also think we've had Red Dead Redemption 2 that time frame. It was exceptionally detailed and all the other stuff. So I'm not too surprised.
We'll see. But yeah, no, like you, it was a really good showing for... I know PlayStation was a bit early, but...
Yeah, I think it was solid. I think there's a lot for gamers to like. And I don't think there should be disappointment in any camp. Because I think there's a bit for everybody, unless you're just completely stone-hearted and only want to play FIFA, which doesn't even exist as a game anymore. Hey.
Yeah, because there's no showing for me, eh, was there?
No, but kind of said this before. EA is such a weird one, because gamers love to hate them, but they put out solid games, with the exception of their July Immortals of Avian, which I don't think anybody can work up any enthusiasm for. It just doesn't seem to strike a chord. Anywhere. It looks like a AAA game. It looks like it's going to leverage a fair amount of power from the consoles. Just doesn't look interesting.
Yeah.
Take that aside. Your annual sports releases, all that kind of stuff, go strong, does the numbers. They don't need to publicise any of that. They just do it. They just release it.
Yeah.
And it comes out when expected. We've got, what is it called? Is it We Are Football or This Is Football or something?
Yeah, sure.
EA Sports Football. I forget what it's called. It's not something I'm going to play. So I haven't paid a lot of attention to it, but FIFA branding's gone, but the game's still there. That's going to come out this year. So it's really only the first-person stuff. And beyond Survivor and Dead Space, which have already released this year, again, successful games, you've got this Immortals of Avian, and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think they do need to show up, in fairness, unless they have a massive surprise. But maybe it's next year. Or maybe they'll get bought by someone. We never know.
Who knows?
Right. Well, thanks for bearing with us over this last hour or so with us talking through the games we wanted to talk about. I'm not even going to call it highlights because there's just no way in the world we could get through everything. There's bound to be stuff in here that we've not discussed, which you really enjoyed. Send us a note on Twitter if you want, at Codec Moments, so that we know what you're looking forward to. Is there anything that actually you would have liked to see? Mr. Brown, do not put Splinter Cell. We already know that one. But anyone else, figure out, is there something you would like to have seen that you were expecting to get announced? And have we missed something in one of the showcases? Because there were a lot of showcases, and we have really only covered kind of three or four big ones. So, you know, just let us know. Let us know you've actually listened. That would be great. And as usual, subscribe, leave us a review, use your favourite podcast app, all the usual bits, which arguably if you're listening to this, you've probably still got to subscribe somewhere, but you know, go and rate it. And we may do another one this year.
Yeah. We're trying.
We are trying. Very trying. Anyway, take care. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you soon. Bye.
In a bizzle.